One of the joys of my work as a hospital chaplain is meeting people of many religious persuasions. I love to listen to how different people view the world and what gives their lives meaning. Not surprisingly, the folks I meet are often in crisis. My job includes helping them connect to their own sources of wisdom and support. So one of my regular questions is, what helps you through hard times? What helps you through hard times? At the hospital, I get all sorts of answers. My family, my friends, my religious community, my pets, my work, music, prayer, reading scripture. But perhaps the most common response is my faith, which means something different for each person. Last week, I went to see Ms. Jones, knowing that she just received a new, very serious diagnosis. I wondered, was she in shock, denial, scared, angry, sad, thinking optimistically, busy researching treatment options? Ms. Jones was doing none of these things. When I asked her how she was, she replied, "I'll be okay. I have faith that the Lord is with me. Whatever happens, it'll be all right." She was deeply sincere. I could see it in her face, hear it in her voice, feel it in her energy. There was a peacefulness, a groundedness, a spaciousness that awed me. This was not shock or denial, not a belief in a miracle cure or a passive acceptance of death. This was a faith born in the crucible of a hard life, a foundational belief that whatever happened, she would be companioned in her suffering by a loving presence that would sustain her. Along with Julian of Norwich, Ms. Jones truly believed that all would be well. She rested in her faith the way the little duck rests in the Atlantic. And I confess that I was jealous. Yes, one of the seven deadly sins. And yes, I'm a minister. And yes, I'm confessing this to you. I was jealous of Ms. Jones's equanimity in the face of a life-changing, possibly death-threatening diagnosis. Me? I'm a worrier born and bred, an expert at worst-case scenarios. Faith does not come easily to me. I have to work at it, coaching myself to take a deep breath, singing, "I know this rose will open," over and over and over, reminding myself of what I believe when I'm calm and grounded. My faith does not look like Ms. Jones's. What does faith look like for you? When I asked my home congregation this question, the responses were all over the map. Some folks struggle with the word faith as implying naivete or wishful thinking, while others embrace the word faith as the deepest part of who they are. Some described feelings of spaciousness, deep interconnectedness, a transcendent love, a letting go and resting in the knowledge that they are part of something so much bigger, which reminds me of Ms. Jones and Julian and the duck. And most wrote about faith as a choice, an intention, something they work at, often through spiritual practice. But what is faith anyway? Faith is a slippery word, one of those central spiritual concepts that resists easy definition. The dictionary offers synonyms: belief, trust, fidelity, loyalty, conviction. And faith is both all these things and not quite any of them. It's one of those words we use instinctively, each in a slightly different way. And it's one of those words that makes some UUs uncomfortable. Despite our discomfort, we UUs use the word faith a lot. It appears 110 times in our gray hymnal, though only 13 times in our newer and smaller teal hymnal, make of that what you will. Sometimes we use faith as a synonym for religion, referring to Unitarian Universalism as a faith or faith tradition. We speak of faith development. We call ourselves a people of faith. We're also a people who prize reason and science. Is that a contradiction? I don't think so. Reason and science are wonderful as far as they go, but there's so much we can't prove, can't anticipate, can't know. So many decisions we need to make without the certainty or evidence we might prefer. In those times, we turn to something else to guide us. We turn to faith. Faith in what, you may ask? For some, it's God or the universe or love or the long view. For others, it's intuition, trusting your gut. For others, it may be guiding principles. As UUs, we come from a long lineage of faithful heretics, people who questioned, reasoned, and had faith, sometimes faith they were willing to die for. 500 years ago, our religious forebear, Francis David, died in prison for his Unitarian faith, his refusal to accept the Trinity. In the 19th century, Unitarian minister Theodore Parker had faith that the arc of the moral universe bends toward justice. In living his faith, he risked his life by harboring runaway slaves. Our universalist forebears placed their faith in a loving God who wouldn't damn anyone to hell. And in the early 20th century, Unitarians put their faith in humanity and human progress. What about us? Where do today's UUs place our faith? There's no one answer, of course, but here are a few possibilities. We UUs have faith that what we do matters, that together we can make a difference, that justice is worth working toward. We have faith in the power of love. We UUs have faith that wisdom can be found in many religions and cultures. We have faith in our seven principles as a worthy blueprint for life. And we have faith that we don't have all the answers. You might say we have faith in the questions. What about you? Where do you place your faith? When I asked myself this question, here's what came up. I have faith in the unexpected, that I can't know what's going to happen next, and unfortunately, I can't control a lot of it either. I have faith that I'll be surprised. I have faith that I'll be wrong sometimes, particularly when I'm convinced that I'm right. I have faith that things change. I have faith that my actions will ripple out into the world in ways beyond my knowing. I have faith that there's a bigger picture than I can see, and I don't need to see the whole picture. All I need is the next step. I have faith that I can learn from whatever happens, and that I can use that learning to serve others. On a good day, I have faith in life. And then there are those other days. Days when my faith wavers and fear rises to the surface. What then? That's when I take deep breaths and sing, I know this rose will open. I know this rose will open. Of course, I don't actually know whether the rose will open. But singing the words makes space for the possibility and gives me courage to move forward. And then there are those times when faith deserts me completely. When my beloved partner died of cancer 22 years ago, my faith died with him. Grief obliterated everything. I needed other people to hold faith for me, and they did. They had faith that my grief wouldn't last forever, that there was good life still ahead, even though I couldn't begin to imagine it. I took comfort in their faith when I had none of my own. We hold faith for each other during hard times. One famous example is the It Gets Better Project. 8 years ago, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender adults shared their stories publicly via the internet, more than 50,000 videos, hoping to give LGBTQ youth the faith to persevere through the pain and isolation of high school by letting them know that it gets better. And then there are the everyday ways in which humans hold faith for one another. Teachers hold faith that their students will learn. Parents grasp for faith as their children take everyday risks. Friends offer faith when we falter. Marriage is an act of faith if ever there was one, and so is love. We love never knowing what will lie ahead, and knowing that with love comes heartache. To be human is to be a person of faith. We all need faith simply to get out of bed in the morning. We never really know how our day will unfold or what will happen next. It's faith that gives us courage to live with all this uncertainty, acting as if something is true when we have no way to know for sure. I like that definition of faith as acting as if, particularly since faith and action are often intertwined. Whether you resonate with the Christian teaching that faith without works is dead, or whether you resonate with a Muslim teaching that has guided me for the past 25 years. Six words. Trust God and tether your camel. Trust God and tether your camel. Not one or the other, both. Do what you can and trust in the rest. In case you haven't figured it out, I'm a camel tetherer. Much better at doing than trusting. My central spiritual challenge is to practice trust, practice faith. And it's been hard these past few years. News in this country has been heartbreaking, horrifying, and unbelievable to the point of despair, with such a dizzying array of horrors that it's hard to know where to turn, where to place our limited energy. Who can have faith at a time like this? Times like this are when we need each other most, when we need to come together as a people of faith. These are times for camel tethering, for doing everything we can to let our views be known. And these are times when it's helpful to hold the bigger picture, whether it's trusting God, believing that the arc of the universe eventually bends toward justice, cuddling in the swells like the little duck. Whatever offers some spaciousness, equanimity, relief. Maybe it's simply remembering that sometimes things turn out all right. The Berlin Wall did fall. Apartheid did end, to name two impossibilities I never thought would happen in my lifetime. Those stories give me faith that maybe things will turn out better than I think. And they remind me that those victories took a lot of work from folks whose faith helped them act toward a seemingly impossible dream. They tethered their camels, held firm to their vision, and acted together. May we do so as well. May we live our faith, trusting and tethering, identifying what is most precious to us and acting in its name. May we companion each other on this faith-filled journey of life as we strive to live our deepest values, weaving a tapestry of love and justice. Blessed be. Amen.